Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to be back with you. I have missed you dearly, and it is so good to be back and to see everyone. Thank you. It was good. I appreciate, over the last couple of months, all the kindness. I appreciate all the prayers. I appreciate all the text messages. I appreciate the walks. I appreciate you. We love this church. Our family loves this church. We love you. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, of course, this comes from Matthew's gospel, and he lifts that from a promise when the prophet Isaiah used it with King Ahaz, which was 700 years before Christ. And Matthew takes it out of the realm of power and palaces and inserts it instead into his own context, and that is one of an oppressed people ruled by a violent foreign empire. Matthew reinterprets that ancient holy scripture into the story of a common carpenter and his soon-to-be young wife who will give birth to Jesus our Lord. Now, as Christians, we proclaim Jesus as God incarnate, which is a theological term meaning God in flesh, God in skin and bones, or as Matthew invites us to see Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, I live in a pretty comfortable home. We don't just have one fridge. We have two fridges and a freezer and a pantry, and all of them are filled with food. In fact, there is probably food in the back of our fridge that will go bad without me even realizing that that food is in there. Truly, God is with us. Okay, now a few rapid questions here, okay? So I'm going to ask you to respond by raising a hand, all right? And they're going to come quick. And so please don't go passive on me. Let's participate in this. And I see you over there in the hospitality people as well. Fern, I see you. I see all of you in the hospitality, so participate. And I see you over at home. Leanna Bonin, I see you on your couch, okay? So please participate with this. No going passive. Who decorates the home for Christmas? All right. Who puts up lights outside? Nice. Who builds some form of a gingerbread house or a cookie house? Okay. Who puts popcorn on a string? Who has ever heard of putting popcorn on a string? There we go. Okay, last one. Who opens the presents when they're meant to be opened on Christmas Eve? Ah, there we go. Yeah, we are blessed. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, I do hope that you're making lasting memories this week. I am surrounded with really good friends and a really good family. I am blessed to be part of a loving, diverse church community. Believing God is with us is usually a pretty easy thing for me to do. 10 years ago, right now, in December, in 2011, I met my father's sister for the first and only time. She shared with me some of their refugee story. I recall her saying that becoming a refugee strips you of your pride and dignity. It reduces you to survival instincts and often to feeling that you are nothing. There are wounds so deep that even some 70 years later, she chose not to discuss them. While they were refugees, every night they would travel under the cover of darkness, and every day they would hide in the forest and pray. And do you know what their prayer was? Emmanuel, God is with us. My refugee father and sister separated when the bridge that they were crossing was blown up. My dad continued west into Germany. My sister was trapped, and the Soviet soldiers threw her in a cattle car on its way to Siberia. In that barren land, you know what sustained them? They hung on to the truth of Emmanuel. God is with. Now, show of hands again. Who has somewhere in their family heritage a story of migrating from elsewhere to Canada? We all do. We all came from somewhere. Now, when we see someone who looks very much not like us, do we think them? When someone looks like us but has very different values, do we think them? When we say God is with us, how do we prevent ourselves from really thinking God is with me? Or prevent ourselves from living as if God is not with them? There is no us and them. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is only us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, recently as a church, among several other global needs, we sent money to the Cameroon Crisis Relief Fund. Thank you. Thank you for supporting the Missions Fund. Amongst many other relief services the fund provides, we are blessed to help the hospitals provide medical and spiritual attention to the afflicted. I have a whole list of those that the relief has gone to, and time will only allow me to read from one. This is a quote from the hospital records. This patient's family compound was burnt by the military in one of their raids in the village Abu. The mother went into labor while in the bushes and came to the hospital when she had developed a complication which kept mother and baby longer in the hospital. Other family members are internally displaced persons at large, hence making it real difficult to be able to complete payment of the bill. At the hospital, they are receiving medical and spiritual attention. The patients see the motivation for the hospital is that these afflicted people would witness, Emmanuel, God is with. Now, the other night, as I warmed under my very thick down duvet, I thought, how am I helping newcomers to Canada to say, Emmanuel, God is with us? Rather than inspiring faith, are my actions raising doubts about God's presence? How many of our neighbors have traveled to Canada seeking hope and refuge? Many, many along the way have been strengthened by the certainty of knowing Emmanuel, God is with us. What do you think they conclude about this culture when the Canadian church here does not welcome them? How many of the children that God loves have not yet developed a trusting relationship with a Christian that can demonstrate that Jesus is so much more than only a prophet? Those who have never set foot inside a church only know about who Jesus is through the followers' words, deeds, and actions. And people will form opinions about Christ, not just through our personal interactions with them, but also through what we say and do in public and what we do not say or do in public. Can I ask that Psalm 146 is put up on the screen? And would you read this together with me? Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. This is the word of God. How many refugees and immigrants are now questioning the psalmist, who declared God is with the poor and the oppressed, and that God protects the foreigners in our midst? If you are a newcomer to Canada, welcome. I cherish the opportunity to hear your story. Please contact me. I need to hear your story. As we look into this year to come, let us who are fortunate remember to give thanks for all the ways we are aware God is with us, not just with me. And let us also commit, my dearly loved sisters and brothers, to do these three things. Number one, if we could just advance that slide. Or not. Number one, to pray for all who have far too many reasons to question God's existence. Number two, to desire mercy when we are the cause of others' doubts. And number three, if you are hearing God's call to be involved in Christ's holy, compassionate, and incarnate work of restorative justice among the poor, the oppressed, and amongst foreigners, immigrants, and refugees, I need to hear from you. Emmanuel, God is with us.
This October, there were northern lights all over the Edmonton area, and some of people's images from their cameras were absolutely stunning. It reminded me of the first time I saw the northern lights. Having grown up in Brazil, I had never seen them. And it was on a very dark night. We were doing that long weekend quick trip from Edmonton to Winnipeg all night to escape school. And it was my turn to drive the van. So my colleagues were sleeping. It was the middle of the night, dark, on a deserted part of Saskatchewan, and I'm driving the van. And all of a sudden, the sky just lit up. And it was just dancing with colors. And I was just overwhelmed. And the beauty struck me in a way that I had never felt before. And I heard God speak to me. The words that later on I read in Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jerilyn, he who formed you, Jerilyn, do not fear. I have redeemed you, and I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And caught up in the wonder of that moment, I hit the shoulder, and all my colleagues woke up screaming at me and broke that holy moment. When I was a teenager, I had a deep encounter with Christ at a missionary kids' camp. And our speaker emphasized that Christ and me are always the majority. And Christ and me was a concept that really helped me through high school. Because I knew that Christ and me were a majority, I took a stand and I could face the crowd and I could be left out because we were the majority. So it was a concept that really helped me. But you know, that night in the middle of Saskatchewan, something changed. And it wasn't Christ and me anymore. It was Christ in me forever. It was his work in me, his strength, his power, his wisdom. I would never be alone. And the passage in Isaiah that the Lord spoke to me says, when you go through these things, not if you go through these things. And one thing is certain, we will go through terrifying times. And little did I know back then how true this would be in my own life. I'll just give you one example. There was one night when my family was in Brazil. This is already my family, not my parents. We were driving our VW van late at night, Sunday night, and we were rounding a curve on a hill. As we went around, We went right through a shootout of the police shooting up to a gang and the gang shooting at the police, and we went through the bullets. We heard them, we saw them. And after we drove through the bullets, we all ducked. And then my husband said, "Are we all still alive?" And I checked the kids, and I said, "Yeah." And we just got silent. When we got to our apartment building and parked our car, we checked our van, and there were no signs on the van of any bullets. We walked into the apartment, and the phone was ringing, and I grabbed the phone. "It's my mom here in Edmonton," and she goes, "How are you guys doing?" I said, "Mom, we're doing great. God just made us invisible." We drove through all these bullets, and not one of them touched us. And she says, "Well, I just wanted you to know that you were the missionaries of the week, and we prayed for you at our church as many other churches prayed for you today." I could fill a book of the Lord's deliverances in my life. Christ in me through it all. After 30 years of church planting and establishing the Chain of Love Homes, we arrived in Canada with just a few suitcases, beginning a new stage. Now, new stages can be exciting, but they can also be very frightening and unsettling. But once again, Emmanuel paved the way. I got the position here at McKernan with the children. I think I was the only one that applied, but I got the position. Our house sold in Brazil, and miracle of miracles, without much bureaucracy, the money actually transferred into our bank account here. And we were able to buy a house here with everything in it. Silverware, towels, dishes, pots and pans, tablecloths. Everything that I gave away, God gave me back. And it was close to my kids and grandkids. So my life has been full, secure, and even joyful. Even though my husband of 35 years, 6 years ago, just decided to leave the family. Even though last year I walked with my beautiful father-in-law through death during COVID, and now the last couple years with the failing health of my dad. Christ in me, his strength, his power. I'm so thankful that I can go into 2022 knowing that he is in me. I'm so thankful for McKernan Baptist Church, for the opportunity to serve here, for the wonderful children and families that we have, for the fantastic staff that has been my support, for the church board that has so been gracious in so many ways. So now as I go on this sabbatical, I know Christ is in me, and I venture into a new season of growth. And I was thinking of the hymn, "O Come to Us, Abide in Us, Our Lord Emmanuel." And let's make it personal. O come to me, abide in me, my Lord Emmanuel.
Would you stand with us as we sing another worship song?
Yes. spend with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together. Together, wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, you created. Upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Together, wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're all together lovely, all together. Together, wonderful to me.
Amen. Please be seated.
It is so good to be part of this team preach, and just even to hear from Pastor Dan and Pastor Geraldine. Wow. So rich an experience. And as I've been listening to Pastor Dan and Gerald, and I've just been going, okay, is this going to fit with what they're saying? That's one of the challenges of Team Preach. Is this going to contradict what they're saying? But no, it's... but I, as I've... We were... Given this, reflect on God with us. And what is Emmanuel? What difference does it make? What? How do we understand that? And right away, I knew where I was going to go. And it was even while I was sitting here listening and worshiping that a little more clarity came to me as to why I came to this passage of Psalm 139, which has been a favorite psalm of mine. And where it has been really meaningful to me over the last few years especially. If you've ever felt alone, if you've ever felt like you're on your own, and I am so blessed to have a lovely wife and three amazing kids and family that, you know, it's so hard to not be with family at Christmas time, and I miss being with family. But if you've ever felt alone, sometimes we can know that God is with us. We can hear the words that God is with us. But how do we understand it? How do we experience it? And for me, over the last few weeks, I've had the opportunity to spend some time in Henry Nouwen's book, The Way of the Heart. And in this book, Nouwen explores solitude, silence, and prayer. And initially, when you think of being with someone, the disciplines of solitude, silence, and prayer don't really, they more evoke images of being without, because it's about being alone. It's about being quiet. And, but I would say, even over the last few weeks, just being reminded of these disciplines has given me a fuller grasp of what it means that God is with us. God is with you and with me. When we think of solitude, COVID has presented us with enough opportunities for solitude, that is for sure. But have you felt God with you? Have you experienced God with you during isolation and restrictions? Solitude is more than just being alone, but it is intentionally seeking out that time alone for a purpose. And David, in this, what I can only imagine as being a time of solitude, comes to understand what God with him means. And he says this in Psalm 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't take it all in. Silence. Some of us like it. Some of us find it unnerving. We had a moment of silence in our prayer time this morning. Pastor Lyle and I didn't coordinate that, but we're going to have a time of silence again. But we have become sometimes very uneasy with silence. We like to push silence away. We have our iPhones and our AirPods and all of the devices that pump words and music into our ears. And so for some of us, silence is unusual and maybe even unwelcome. Nouwen says, one of our main problems is that in this chatty society, silence has become a very fearful thing. For most people, silence creates itchiness and nervousness. Nouwen also says, even silence in our church services isn't welcomed. Nouwen accurately observes, as soon as the minister says during a worship service, let's be silent for a few moments, people tend to become restless, preoccupied with only one thought, when will this be over? How many of you have spent a moment in silence looking at the second hand of your watch, hoping that it won't go on too long? Not only does silence make us sometimes a little bit nervous, our wordy society has sometimes robbed us of the power of words. We've just become so used to them, and words have lost their power. And we've come to not trust words with fake news and all these kinds of things where we hear lots of words, but we don't know if we can trust them. And in John 1, it talks about the Word becoming flesh, the Word, capital W, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word that we can trust absolutely. In the next few minutes, we are going to be silent. but I hope it doesn't make you itchy or nervous, and I hope you don't spend it looking at your watch. But what I would like you to do is spend some time in silence, preparing yourself to encounter the Word. Prepare yourself to encounter the living Word. And it's not just about the words that I will read that may be up on the screen, but it is about the Word, the living Word, Emmanuel, God with us, who we will come to see the depth to which He is with us. So let's be silent. And then in a few moments, I will read God's Word for you. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. My prayer is that those may not just be words, but that may be a reminder of the word that dwells with you, with us, right here, right now. If you feel alone, or if you are full, God is with you. And so how do we respond to that? How do we together respond to the presence of God with us? Well, we can respond in prayer. And I'm going to ask that we respond together with the conclusion of Psalm 139. And so together, let us pray together this prayer of response. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
Well, good morning, McKernan. It's so good to see everyone here this morning. The nice thing about going last is I only have 1 minute of your time now. So, just kidding. So for this morning, I'd like to look at the practical implications of God with us from the perspective of God's grace working in our lives, and more specifically, our holiness and our sanctification, especially in a culture where we are constantly pointed towards self-improvement or bettering ourselves on the basis of hard work or self-directed change. The word holiness and sanctification can sometimes trigger a sense of weariness rather than empowerment. So we'll be looking at Paul's letter to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. The Christian life begins with grace and continues with grace received by faith. Paul completely understood this because as we read the passage, we find out that grace is unmerited and it's also transformational. Grace is not only undeserved or unmerited favor, but a transforming force that helps us to be set apart by shaping our attitudes and our mindset to that of Christ Jesus. Paul's life and mission is case in point. From persecuting churches, got a little carried away, from persecuting churches to them being an apostle, continuing and moving forward, the life and the mission of the church really is a testament to God's transforming work of grace in his life. Part of what it means for God to be with us is that his grace is with us. It's not just the point of conversion, but it is every single day after that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Grace is not just a gift that is rooted in the disposition of God for the work of salvation, but it is a force and a power that God acts and works in us to change our capacities for service, for worship, and for obedience. And why does this matter? Why does having God's grace with us matter? It's very easy for a Christian, including myself, to stumble into a mindset of doing good works and being a better person. You just have to try harder. Just try harder, Nathaniel, to be a good Christian. So we might find ourselves doing a million and one different things to affirm our faith. Or we come on a Sunday morning putting on our Sunday best, as if we have no spiritual need in our lives. Or perhaps we fight sin with our own strength, but we just end up getting defeated and discouraged. I don't know about you, but that's not a life I want to live. It sounds exhausting. Performance sounds exhausting. And many of us know this cerebrally in our minds, but maybe not viscerally in our hearts. That our faith in spiritual transformation is not solely based off of good works. Good works is undoubtedly part of the Christian life, and transformation does require effort. You see that in Paul. I worked harder than all of the other apostles. The effort was there. But it's not the foundation that we depend on to be more like Christ. Some of us may still be in a cycle of performance fatigue rather than flourishing in the daily promises of God's grace. When we understand both in mind and in heart that God is with us, the truth of that empowers us to entrust our transformation, our changing, our growing to him and his grace alone. We can find freedom, freedom, absolute freedom from the enslavement of doing more and earning in order to be made more like him. Becoming more like Christ when we know that he is with us becomes less of an exhaustive list of do's and don'ts and feels more like freedom. Becoming more like Christ when we know that he is with us becomes less of a chore and duty and more of a joy. Becoming more like Christ when we know that he is with us becomes less disappointing and hopeless and more hopeful and expectant. When we know that God is with us, we thrive and we grow in ways we couldn't even imagine. So how do we place ourselves in the transforming work of God's grace that is available to us every single day? How do we do that? How do we take notice the truth that God is with us? There are many, many applications that we could go through, but just one for this morning. Our daily posture must be aligned. Our daily posture must be aligned. Rather than allowing our daily schedules and lives to direct our human thoughts, strategies, plans, and ways, which is so easy to do, and I'm guilty of it for sure, we need to start to intentionally pause and allow his spirit and grace to direct our days. That might look like investing in your prayer life, forming the habit of praying before complaining, before discussing, before planning, before problem solving, before we start our day. Rather than waking up to the morning and checking our phones, we can say a quick prayer of gratitude, of God, you are with me today. To help set our mindset and our attitudes to that of God's. Or maybe it means forming a regular habit of scripture-led prayer that helps guide our prayers and keeps us focused on the will and way of God rather than our own. So investing in our prayer lives may be a Sunday school answer that we've heard over and over again. But it is such an essential part of abiding with and growing with him and in him. It is through his word and prayer that we primarily come to understand and experience what exactly God with us means and feels and looks like. So that is my encouragement to us this morning. It's an encouragement for myself as well. That if you're tired and weary of trying all the time, and just feeling disappointed with the lack of growth, invest and to turn to the one who is with you. And I'm praying that as each of us continue to learn how to do this daily, that he would be graciously and powerfully at work in and through us, making us more like himself each day.